Pastor Long. Appreciate it.
Good morning to you. Naomi and I want to thank you so much for your prayers, and I'll let her come and tell you on her behalf of how the Lord has blessed her life. Oh, I asked her to bring me a cough drop. Do you have one, dear? That was my signal. Oh, you got it? Okay. Thanks, dear. What in the world?
It's a privilege for us to be here. I don't know if you can tell, but I have laryngitis. And it seems like the Lord allows me to speak. And then
I think you're giving it to me.
And then when I'm done, then my voice totally gives out. But I want to thank you all. I want to thank this church particularly for your prayers for us. As you know, last year I had breast cancer. And we had an extended stay in the United States. But the Lord is good. And I'm here today to tell you that God does answer prayer, that I have been healed, that I had my first checkup and things went very well. And so I thank you for praying for me. I thank you, too, for praying for our granddaughter, Hannah Artis, who was born on October the 31st, the day we returned to Columbia. We finally got to meet her. She has a rare congenital disease, and unless there is a miracle, she will never change. She has convulsions 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it is quite a challenge for our son. And for his wife, they have two other children. So I'm sure that they would appreciate your prayers. God has done miracles. She is able to swallow because the doctor said she would never be able to swallow. They say that she will never walk or talk. So our kids need a lot of prayer. And that's been a hard one for us as we've gone back to struggle over that issue of not being here for our kids. Nothing we can do, but, you know, we can pray. And that is the most important thing. And I said, why wasn't that child born the day before we got on the plane? We returned on the 31st, and she was born while we were in flight between Atlanta and Miami. And I said, God, why couldn't you allow her to be born the day before? And Doug reminded me that had she been born the day before, we never would have gotten on that plane, and we never would have gone back to Columbia. And for some reason, God wants us there. And so it's better to be in the center of God's will than to be anywhere else. So I appreciate your prayers for our kids. We're going to do a slide presentation, and I set up the timing on this, and it's really fast. So I'll try to talk faster this time, and we'll see what we can do. A visit to Colombia. Come with us on a trip to beautiful Colombia. Juan Valdez and his mule will be our guides. He wants to offer you a cup of 100% Colombian coffee. Maybe Juan is not enough. Maybe you need more. As we approach Colombia, we see the beautiful coastline. We see beautiful mountains and strange rock formations. We have wonderful fruits and vegetables. We have exotic flowers that are beautiful. One of our favorite regional dishes is ajiaco. And we are number one in the exportation of bamboo. And bananas, Chiquita bananas, come from Colombia. We have more birds than any other country in the world. Emeralds come from Colombia, and you can see the conquerors went for the gold. We have interesting artwork and creative artwork here. This is right in front of my house. We also have a Nobel Prize winner for literature. This is a farm area, the rural country, where many of the gorillas rule and reign. And then there are the major cities where we see poverty and great, great need. All around we see symbols of religion. But Cali is a lost city, and God has sent us there. Come visit us sometime. He sent us to plant a church, and we're on our road to success, just like Juan Valdez. We started this little church called the Encounter Church on the river. We're right along the Cali River, and God's put us in a team with other Colombians and with other missionaries. Prayer is the basis for our work, and without prayer, nothing could be done. We start by evangelistic bulletins that are passed out into 5,000 apartment buildings so we could get to know our neighbors. We have Bible studies, and you can see some of them are interesting. We have ladies' teas, and we have art classes. We have men's breakfasts and men's retreats. We have personal discipleship and Bible study. It's a privilege to see people follow the Lord in baptism. We have a little nursery, but it's not very big, and we have very few children in our church. So we ask if you pray for that. This is a youth group that met in our home. And Christmas programs that we have and Easter programs to draw the attention of the people. We work with couples. and they renew their marriage vows as they take this course on improving their marriage and their relationship. God has given us a vision for the world. We have missionaries in Panama and in Spain. And God has given us ministry to teach and to love others. We have a burden for the city, for these high-rise apartment buildings, and apartments are going up all around us every day. Our church is getting smaller, and we need bigger facilities. This was our 5th anniversary, and you can see that we are a growing church. Well, it looks like our tour guides are tired, and they need to take a rest. Maybe they're going to have some professional counseling, but we'd like to pass the torch on to you and ask that you pray for us. And the prayer request will be coming up on the screen. Pray most of all for the salvation of souls. People are really prejudiced toward evangelicals. Pray for discipleship and training of leaders. That's what we're mostly involved in. Pray that we would find a larger place to meet. And pray that the people from our target group are reaching the upper classes, you know, and they don't want anybody to touch their pocketbook. And pray that they will learn the responsibility of tithing so that the church can become a self-supporting church. Thank you.
I'd like to be your friend. And how do you become a friend of somebody? You have to take time. You have to force yourself to fight against your desire to stay where you are in your own comfortable, self-controlled environment. To find friends, you have to go to them. You have to walk up to them. You have to talk to them. Communication is important. And I am losing my voice there. What's that, Bob? Okay, I'm going to get that in a minute. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So to become a thank you friend. If you give a cup of coffee, I've got coffee in my cup of water in my name, you will receive your reward. I don't have much money to give a reward. So to become a friend, you have to give yourself. It's a fight in yourself. You want to give yourself as a missionary to people that you don't know. You have to go to them, communicate, talk with them, share with them. And I picked out one particular person before the service started, and I want to meet this person. I don't know the person at all, and they're going to be surprised when I come to them. Hi, Charles Stanley. I don't know your name. What is your name?
Edward.
Edward. I'm Doug. I'm glad to know you.
Nice to meet you.
And tell me about yourself. What is your favorite thing to do?
Spend time with Stacy.
Spend time with Stacy. Okay. Are you friends or are you more than friends?
We're buddies.
You're buddies. Okay, Edward. And so are you married?
No.
Not yet. Okay. Good. All right. Well, I've got some questions I have to ask you. But I'm not going to ask all of them. So how long have you been dating with each other?
A year.
Over a year. Wow, great. Good. Well, I'm glad to meet you, Edward. And now I know Stacy as well. Isn't that interesting? I can tell you a story about how my wife and I met. We were both headed off to Tocoa Falls, Georgia. And we met each other there in that car and talked, and I invited her out on a date before we even arrived at college. And that's how our relationship started. I'd like very much to get to be your friend, but that depends also on you. Depends on Edward now if he is accepting my friendship, and maybe I've embarrassed him. I think not. Did I get the idea that you raised your hand when they talked about serving in the armed forces? You did not. Somebody near you did. Yes, I saw that hand. God bless you. You know, these people that serve the Lord are important, but also we see people that serve our country, and they mean so much to us during these days, and we thank you for your service to the country. Is everybody hearing me? I feel like I'm not hearing myself very well. Okay. God wants us to be his friend. He wants to give himself to us in such a degree that we can understand that he's coming to us on our level. He wants us to know him as he is, and he wants us to worship him alone. Why is God so desirous that you know Him, because He knows that without Him, you can't live. You can't live today, you can't live tomorrow, you can't live eternally without Him. He knows that you're desperate for Him, but you may not recognize your desperation. Now, the people that I go to in Cali, Colombia, most of them do not really realize how wonderful God is. They have heard about Him. You've all heard about Him. How many of you know Him really perfectly, completely? I don't. I fight against all odds to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know God. And it's not easy for you to sit there in a pew and listen to me right now. I know it's a fight. I know it's a struggle. But yet it is worth the struggle to make a friend with God. Moses did. We read about that in the scripture. Moses sought God. He asked God, show me your glory. Would you send someone with me? I need help. He asked God to teach him. He asked God, be with us. We want to be your inheritance. We give ourselves to you. Take us. Those are words of deep expression, deep emotion, of deep commitment. And that's what it takes to be Christ-like. That's what it takes to be the friend of God. It takes someone who will go after Him, whatever it takes. Let me tell you about some of the people in Colombia who have done just that. There's this lady named Alicia. She called on the telephone to the church about a year and a half ago, and Alicia heard the word on the other end of the line, Christians. She hung up the phone right away. I don't want to have anything to do with evangelical Christians. They scare me. There is great prejudice against Christians in the country of Colombia. And so it was that she continued looking for God on her own level, in her own traditional way, for over a year. And then she called the church again after over a year and said, can I know more about you and about what you teach? And the person on the other line said, well, come tomorrow to the prayer time. We'll be glad to explain to you the things of God. And so she hung up and she came the next day. And that day she prayed, oh, Lord Jesus, you have died for me. You have risen from the dead. You can change me. Forgive me. Come into my life. And she was transformed. The next day she called her friend and said, what did I just do? Did I just get baptized? She didn't realize what had happened. And many times when we become friends with somebody, we don't understand the implications of that friendship. We don't know to what extent it's going to take us in the future. And you didn't know when you came to church this morning, possibly, that I was going to speak. You were expecting Pastor Bob. Well, the implications are different today. The implication is that He wants to use you and He wants to use me. And He's put us in a relationship right now. It's rather difficult to relate because I don't know each of you by name. But Edward and Stacy, is that right, Stacy? Okay. But I have met a couple of people, and Charles Stanley, and I have met a number of them, a number of you. And I would like to tell you that God really wants to be your friend. The second point, you need to know God. Some of the people that came to know God were Javier and Monica. Javier was a man filled with distress, discouragement, depression, suicidal. And he was a man that hated people and hated to live. I talked to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was incredible how that I saw in a year's time or so a change. He began to believe that Jesus could be his friend. He wanted to know him. And he and his wife accepted discipleship. And Naomi and I shared with them. Later on in all of this relationship, we found out that he had lied to us about his name. And he said, my name is really Javier. And I was a paid assassin. And I killed over 50 people. And I was shocked. Here I was, a friend of an assassin, and not knowing it. send shivers up my spine. And he listened to the things of God, and he was changed. He was transformed. There was a power of love showing in his face as he listened to the things of God. And I remember him because of his passion for God and his word. Javier was a changed man because he began to know Jesus Christ. Those days before he was killed, we found out that he was an assassin. And we found out that he loved the Lord with all of his heart. There's also another family there in Cali that we work with, Herman and Patty. Herman had a brothel. Herman was the owner of a car dealership. And he was in one of his cars one day. The window was down, and somebody took a grenade and threw it into the car. His foot was blown off. His other leg was damaged severely. He had one leg repaired well, and now he has used it for years, but he lost his foot. Just the other day, we went to visit him, and he was talking to us about his story and telling us how it was humbled from the loss of his foot, and he sought to know the Lord God. He was one that has come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He and his woman were living together for years. He sold the brothel when he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has brought into their marriage, now that they are married, into their relationship, the Lord Jesus, the knowledge of him. Jesus is one who knew Jesus is one who knew the Father, knew him well, and he wants to reveal Jesus, reveal God to us, reveal him as he is. We're in the process of knowing him. We're in the process of growing, and we can be in a relationship with him that is growing and creative. Now, if I were to know each one of you, I could ask you specific questions. Like Edward, I could say, as I get to know you, do you know the Lord? He doesn't have to answer. As I get to know each one of you, do you really know the Lord? Is he your friend? If I were to ask God about you, would God tell me you're a friend of his? Do the people that see you every day, your family, your wife, your children, do they see godliness in you? Do they see a person that's changed? Some of the people that I see in my classes, they come to my apartment on Tuesday nights. And on Tuesday nights, Diego is there and Fabio is there and Julian come. And each one of these men have been divorced. They have different difficulties in their lives. They feel insecure. They feel lost. But now that they're finding the Lord Jesus Christ, we see a change in them. We see enthusiasm for them. The one man owns a mobile gas station there in Cali, and he calls me often during the week, and we talk. How's it going, Diego? He says, I had to take out another loan because I didn't have money to buy gas. And so he went a whole week without gas one time because he didn't have money. He invested his money into an apartment building, and he's trying to rent out the apartments, and he doesn't have enough money coming in at this time, and he just feels incredibly in a difficult situation. And so he said, I could not go through this situation if I did not have God on my side. But I did not know that God was with me. And I was grateful for this couple that just sang a few minutes ago about being with God, God being with us. That is so vital in our relationship with him. And Diego tells me these stories of how he and his wife were separated. They've tried to divorce. They've tried to sign the papers. They haven't been able to sign the papers. They've tried to separate like four or five times. But still, they keep getting back together. They have not signed the divorce papers yet. They're in a fight. They're in a fight. But God wants them to bring healing to that relationship. And we pray about that relationship in our group. What are you fighting for? Are you fighting for your relationship? Are you fighting for this relationship with God to know him better? It's worth the fight. Fighting against the world standards, fighting against all the personal driving passions that we have that would drive us away from God? Are you fighting with the devil? That's what it takes sometimes. It takes that. And these men, one of the men that comes to my group is called Julian. Julian was divorced in the United States and lived here for a time. And then he went back to Colombia and said, I'm so depressed. I'm divorced now. I can't stand the way life is. And so Julian came to this discipleship class because he is our neighbor. And I said, Jesus could help you. Jesus could make a difference in your life. Would you be willing to know him? And so it is, he's coming. He has not yet put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as I know. I don't know that. And I don't want to push him too fast, but I want him to come and put his faith in the Lord Jesus. In my own life, you know, I am fighting to know God on a daily basis. I take time to spend time with him and to pray and to read his word. And it's not easy for me, but it's the number one priority in my life. Nothing else matters if that is not right. My relationship with God affects my relationship with my wife, with my children, with my grandchildren, with the people in Cali, Colombia. I would not be there in Cali if it were not for my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He means everything to me. Do you really know him? The one who can make a difference in your life? Do you know him as well as he wants you to know him? I believe that our relationship with you should be one of provoking each other to love and good works. Not just informing you of what's happening in Colombia, but also, are you walking with the Lord? Friend, fellow Christian, American, member of the Norwin Alliance Church, or just a visitor, are you walking with the Lord? Is there something that's possibly hindering your relationship? Your relationship with him. Moses asked God, teach me. Please give me your presence. May I see your glory. Have you asked God lately, let me see your glory, as Moses prayed? I myself was convicted of sin as I read that passage of Scripture. Have I asked God, can I see you? Can I know you as you are? You know, throughout our lives, we've grown up, many of us, in the Christian church. But to this point, do we feel satisfied with all of our knowledge of him and of his word? I beg of you, do not feel satisfied. Reach down. He has so much more to give. He is God. He is incomprehensible. He is beyond all understanding. And he is worth knowing. Things like this are things that we tell our disciples there in Cali, Colombia. Also, remember what happened to Moses? As he saw God say, I am that I am. He fell down before God and he worshiped. And he said, please forgive us for our wickedness. We need to worship God with that spirit that Moses had. Worship him alone. And we need to fight against idolatry. Fight to be God's friend. Fight to know him. And fight to worship him. Fight against idolatry. Those are the three points that I want to get across this morning. And as people in Cali go through this, you do as well. And I do as well. One particular couple has come to our church for a number of years. They were baptized there. And recently they gave me a telephone call and they said, Pastor Doug, we're bored. We're working so hard. We don't have time for God and the church. Thank you for your time. Goodbye. It was very sad for me to hear that. You know, you pour out your life into people. You pray for them and you spend time with them. And you ask, oh God, give them work. Give them a job. And God gives them jobs. And now they're so filled with all their work that they don't have time for God. They sought him as long as they didn't have work. Maybe I should start praying, oh Lord, take the jobs away. No, I'm not going to do that. But for friendship, you know, to know God, to worship Him alone, idolatry can creep in. It's crept into my life at times. I've worshipped my wife. I've worshipped my children. I've worshipped myself. I've worshipped money. I've worshipped all kinds of things during my lifetime. And I would bet that most of us here as well. I beg of you, fight against that passion to be idolatrous, to seek something else to take the place of God. One of the ladies that fought against idolatry in her life was Adriana. Adriana was one who was baptized in the picture. And she is such a joy to be around. She asks questions and she's passionate about knowing the Lord. She told Naomi all kinds of deep secrets about her life and her relationship with her husband. They're separated and she's raising her two girls on her own. Adriana is such a passionate person about the Lord. Not too long ago, she went to the supermarket, like you would go to the supermarket, and she saw a drive-by shooting. She ran over to the person who was bleeding to death and bent over and said, "I want to tell you about Jesus Christ." Would you do that? Are you so passionate in love with the Lord? Like Edward just introduced me to his girlfriend just a few minutes ago. The most important person in his life. Adriana was so enthralled with her relationship with God that she would go to somebody who did not know and was dying, not afraid of her own danger. She wanted somebody else to know her Lord Jesus Christ. Friendship speaks of friends highly and shares. And so it is that Adriana was like that. As we get to know one another, can I ask you a few questions? Do you spend time alone with God? Do you spend time alone with God on a regular basis? You know, you can be with other Christians, but really our need, our basic need is to be alone with God, like Moses was alone with God. And when he came down off of that mountain, the people saw his face radiant. And in the chapter following, you can see that, chapter 34 of Exodus. You could see he was with God. You could see that Jesus was with God because he spoke, "I know him, he knows me, and I will reveal to whom I choose, reveal God." Are people seeing God in you? And some of our people in Cali, like I just mentioned, some of them are not revealing God, and others are. We need to fight against anything that would get in our way. Is there something in your life hindering you from relationship with God right now? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are difficulties in your life. I don't know you. I don't know Edward very well. But I'll be praying for you, Edward, that God would guide you. And for each one of you, I desire your best. I don't know how God's going to direct your life, but I want God's best for you. And I know that it depends upon you being his friend and upon you knowing him. As it depends for our people in Cali, for them to know him, it's a matter of life and death. Eternity with God or eternity in hell. Let us pray. Father God, I have no ability to communicate your love. Only you have ability by your Spirit to communicate your friendship, your desire that we know you, your desire to be worshipped, how that it will give us life. Lord, rebuke the enemy and give us a driving passion to know you, to seek you, to turn from wickedness. Oh God, forgive us for our sins, for our sometimes indifference towards you. Oh God, we believe you. Help our unbelief. Restore us, Lord, to a good a solid relationship with you, we pray. Bless this Pastor Bob and his family and this church. Thank you, dear God, for their love for you and their love for me. And Lord, I desire that they grow in that love. And I desire that I grow in that love. And the people of Cali as well. Lord, I pray specifically for Julian, that he would trust you, O God. Pray for your blessing upon this couple that called. Revive them, renew them, O God. We ask for their salvation, for the restoration, for your blessing on them. Thank you for your salvation in our lives. Forgive us of our sins and help us to love you even as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.